It's 31 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Judith will be back in just a few moments.
And with me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Jessica Bordelaw of Revolution Theory and Jonathan Pinton of Unlikely Stories magazine. He's the editor-in-chief of that magazine. They're here today to talk about 100,000 Poets for Change. It's an event that Jonathan spearheaded last year in this area. I think the first time, I guess it was first time worldwide last year, wasn't it?
It was. It was the first year. And Jessica was definitely working on that with me last year. 100,000 Poets for Change. It started last year. It's just the idea that poets, artists, and musicians, and all kinds of thinkers and independent writers have both an opportunity, the power, and the need to talk about the issues that affect us worldwide. It's very grassroots. It's not centrally organized. You know, every town tends to do different kinds of things for 100,000 Poets for Change, and they all explain what they're doing on the website, 100tpc.org. And, you know, every little town has different issues. It's worldwide. I mean, it takes place in almost 100 countries now, and every city has their own sorts of issues that they're approaching. Here we focus primarily on environmental issues, but, all kinds of things that poets and writers and musicians want and need to talk about.
It's a great website. It's a really good one to go to and find out more about their mission and where this takes place. Now, does it all happen on the same day?
Mostly. The vast majority of it happens on the last Saturday in September. But, you know, there's always different reasons. For example, there was one on the St. Landry's 100,000 Poets for Change was there at Casa Azul on September 6th.
Right. That was quite successful, I believe. A lot of people went and were very impressed by what happened there. Let's talk just a bit about what you all do and why this was something you wanted to become involved with. Now, Jessica, I know you're a part of Revolution Theory and have been very involved in inspiring people to write and perform.
Being a part of Revolution Theory has been a blessing, you know, for me as well. It was coming together with like-minded poets who had a message they wanted to deliver. And so we've done spoken word performances all across, you know, the state and occasionally in Texas. And the impact that we feel with the audience. You know, we even perform a Festival International, and the feedback we get from the audience is what motivates us to continue to do so, because the power of word, it gets that message out. It does empower people. It impacts people and motivates them. And we've seen several people come up and be motivated to take action because of something they may have heard. You know, if we let these issues go to the side and we don't talk about them, we start to forget that there's a need. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think 100,000 Poets is really all about, which is what motivated me to join in with this endeavor.
And this may sound very different to a lot of people listening whose really only experience with poetry perhaps is something in grade school. You learned it on, you know, from a little book, and then you closed the book and then really never thought about it again. That's very different approach that you're talking about. It's not something that's very silent and hidden and forgotten.
Not at all. And if anyone checks out Revolution Theory on Facebook, or Project Sound, which is a group which myself and three other poets started, it focuses on the teens in the area. Look us up on Facebook. Check out those videos. When you hear that word, that message coming forward in poetry, you will never look at poetry the same again. Never.
Or listen to it in the same way. Well, now, Jonathan, you've been involved for a long time in literary issues, poetry, fiction. Your online magazine has been around for quite a while now.
Since 1998.
1998, before a lot of us were even reading magazines online.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I was a very young man, and there was an opportunity then. There was a real dearth of quality online literature, and I was able to, you know, go in right then, and it's like I had the time and I had the dedication to start up that magazine at a time when no one else was doing it.
Right.
And we've just continued, as now there's a huge number of high quality internet literary magazines, and we've just, you know, stuck with it all these years.
Right.
And it's been a lot of fun. You know, I got people working with me, and we do multimedia stuff.
And what was the focus? When you started shaping that online magazine, what were your goals?
Initially, it was, whenever the only good reason to edit a magazine is to distribute the kind of work that you enjoy. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if you know, there's no point. It's not a charity. It's something where you find pleasure in this kind of writing, and you want other people to find pleasure in this kind of writing, and you want to share the pleasure that you're finding in writing with the kind of people who like that writing. As 14 years ago, you know, as a young man, what I was really into was neopulp, new approaches to pulp fiction. Now it's become, and pulp poetry, now it's become much, much broader. Under the general label of transgressive, we do all kinds of experimental stuff, all kinds of stuff from ignored corners of society. That's a huge thing of what we do. One of the things, just I wanted to talk about what Jessica said a minute ago. One of the things I really love about doing this event that she and I did last year and are doing this year as well is bringing people from different, completely different approaches to poetry together. You know, there on the flyer we mentioned two university professors, Jerry Maguire and Martha Reed, and Rhonda Dean Robinson from the university will also be joining us, and Daryl Bork, the former poet laureate of Louisiana. And at the same time, we're going to have Revolution Theory. We're going to have Project Sound. We're going to have spoken word artists coming. And it's I really enjoy the gathering aspect of
the
this
unity
event.
Across whatever genre or background people have come from. We all have a like mind, a love for poetry, a love for word, and we also have a love for our community. Which every city that's participating, all of the artists who are coming together have a love for their community, and they want to see something change there. And for us, we were focusing on the coastal restoration and the arts, which I think everyone in Acadiana can agree with. That's a huge issue here.
Well, I guess that's what I find so interesting about your backgrounds, and one reason I just wanted to let people hear about them, because you all are very dedicated to bringing people, poets, writers from various backgrounds into this event, and really do believe in the power not just of your spoken word and not just of your particular genre of literature, but you're really reaching out to so many different groups and types of poetry and bringing them into this arena where people can experience the power.
And when you think about the diversity in our population here in Louisiana, it's really important to bring in all of these elements, because there's somebody that I can't reach that Jonathan or maybe Martha Reed can reach. You know, there's somebody that, you know, one of my other Revolution Theory teammates can reach that I can't reach. Mm-hmm. So bringing everyone together, we truly represent everything that is great about Louisiana and the fact that we all love this state, and that's what brings us together every year. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's great that we can reach so many different people with this event.
Well, tell us just a bit about last year. What was your reaction to last year?
Oh, it was a lot of fun.
It was exciting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially knowing that across the globe there were literally thousands of poets all together on the exact same day in this one 24-hour time period, all these poets across the world were standing out and speaking for what they believe in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there's tons of archives on that night online, on videos on 100tpcmedia.org, you know, accessible from 100tpc.org, and on YouTube, on Claire's YouTube channel, right?
Yes, it was on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember y'all posted some last year. Very nice. Really, really lovely. Very nicely done. What was the most surprising thing to you all? I mean, again, you both come from very different backgrounds, literary backgrounds, and you came together for this event, put it together, obviously delighted by what happened. Mm-hmm. But what really, I guess, beyond just being generally satisfied by it, personally, what did you take away from it? Because it's
the connection, mm-hmm. I think, between some of the poets that, you know, maybe had never met before. I loved watching that, seeing their interaction and their communication with the audience and that whole new connection that was established that wasn't there beforehand. Mm-hmm. That's what this event ended up bringing out, was it connected so many people that had never known each other previously.
Mm.
You know, to me, the really big thing is to see so many people declare that art matters, that this entire area of life, which can't be easily measured in dollars or any other immediately measurable way, you know, all these people saying, you know, we care about these things, we care about art. It was we enjoy looking at art, we enjoy hearing art, we enjoy reading art, we enjoy listening to art.
Yeah, and like you said, can't be measured in dollars and whatever, that this is a collection of performances, mm-hmm. that people do because of the art, because of the mission, because of the action that you're hoping will be taken. Well, tell us about the theme then. You talked about environment. Did you choose people specifically because they have an interest in the environment, or are they writing special pieces for this particular day? How is that working?
Not necessarily. We chose them because, because they wanted to participate, main thing, you know, because they felt that this was a good thing, a good thing for the community, a good thing for art, and they wanted to spend time with people of other disciplines. We certainly didn't tell anyone, here's what you have to talk about. Mm-hmm. That's the last thing we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
No formula. We've got musicians this year. We'll have the Zigzag Wanderers there. We'll have Delta Papa playing. We'll have Angie Joel singing. And
something that's different this year is we're also bringing in dancers. We mm-hmm. have a group coming that are actually, they call it b-boying or similar to break dancing. And so it's going to be more a little bit different, because last year it was all poets. And something that happened, I think Michael Rothenberg, who started it, started getting feedback from other artists, other performing artists. And they said, well, hey, what about us?
I wanted to participate.
So this mm-hmm. year it became where there's musicians, and with Lafayette now we will have the dancers as well. So it's going to be a little bit of everything. It's a great idea to come at any time between the 6 to 9 time slot. Mm-hmm. You never know what you're going to see. It's going to be exciting, energizing. The topics are going to be varied. Every artist has chosen something true to their heart, but they all love the fact that the money is going for the coastal restoration and for the arts. They really are excited about that. But it's going to be something for everyone. You can't beat it. That live music, that live dancing, that energy.
So this will benefit the coastal restoration,
yes.
But people mm-hmm. are not necessarily doing their art surround.
Not necessarily.
Okay,
exactly.
With that theme. All right. Mm-hmm. If you have just tuned in, my guests are Jessica Bordelon of Revolution Theory and Jonathan Pinton, who is the editor-in-chief of Unlikely Stories, here talking about 100,000 Poets for Change, which will be in Lafayette Saturday, September 29th at Cité des Arts this year, which is a
yes.
lovely multicultural venue that so many people use for wonderful theatrical productions, for dance, for all kinds of things. It's a really lovely community space.
Awesome
so
spot.
Let's talk about the schedule, because there's obviously a lot of different types of people.
Oh, yeah.
You might need a site map for it. I don't know, unless you're planning to just stay all evening. So it's going to start at 6 o'clock this coming Saturday. So what can people expect when they arrive?
Well, the first thing they're going to see is the Zigzag Wanderers. They're going to open with us, you know, pretty promptly at 6. We've got a lot of entertainment happening that night. And they're going to get the Zigzag Wanderers for a good solid set. And then we're going to move into some poetry. Then throughout the night, you know, we'll have musical acts. We'll have poetry and spoken word acts. We'll have teen speaking. And we'll close with a good long set of Delta Papa playing an open mic. This is something they've done before, collaborating.
Oh, yeah. We've actually, Delta Papa is a great band. If you haven't had a chance to check them out, definitely look them up as well. They agreed to come and participate because we have done an open mic with them. There's just something about that that funky jazz that just fits so well with poetry and spoken word. And I believe Jerry Maguire actually, when he found out about the band, was excited mm-hmm. because yeah. he has a background with kind of bringing the arts together in that way as well. So he's going to perform with the band as well as Lafayette spoken word artists. So this is going to be a lot of fun. And that's more toward the last hour, that 8:30 to 9:30 slot, where they're going to be the live jazz and poets kind of interacting with them.
All right. You, of course, Cité des Arts has a cafe that you mentioned earlier, so that's a really nice way you can wander in and out of the performance area, go to the cafe.
Exactly. We want it to feel like a party. You know, it's a long event, and we don't want it to be a thing where people are believe that they are expected to sit down and listen to poetry for hours. You know, no one's going to do that,
seriously.
And no one should pretend to try to want to do that. Instead, we'll have the back door open. You know, people should wander back and forth from the cafe. They should treat it like a party.
Mm-hmm. Very much like a house party. Get you some gumbo, exactly. Get something to drink, come yeah. listen to some music and watch some dancers. It's going to be a lot of fun mm-hmm. with, of course, the goal of raising that money for this great cause.
Right. Well, I think people can hear in y'all's voices that it is going to be fun. I mean, yeah. your attitude, your approach to it, I mean, there is an energy to it and a liveliness and obviously a deep commitment to presenting these varying kinds of performance. And it just, you know, having been in Lafayette for a long time, there's a real difference, and I know you all have made a difference in making people excited about performing literature. That was not something, I mean, obviously there's a lot of music, a lot of musicians in this area, but people performing poetry, audiences, poetry or fiction, people attending, that's grown in just in the past
I'd have to say,
years.
You know, I have to give Patrice Melnick some yeah, credit for
absolutely.
That in Grand Coteau at Casa mm-hmm. Azul. It was kind of almost faded because at the same time that Revolution Theory was really kicking off, Patrice started up her open mic almost simultaneously. And it was like a few months after we had all gotten started, we heard about each other. And Patrice has really been a force of moving that along in the rural areas as well as reaching out to Lafayette mm-hmm. with drive-through poetry. So definitely, you know, got to give credit to Patrice as well, not just, you know, our poets here in Lafayette.
Right. People feel very comfortable with the idea of attending a literary event, I
yeah.
think, you know. Whether it's in Lafayette or rural St. Landry Parish or Lake Charles, readings and literary experiences seem to be much more common, and people feel comfortable with the idea of them. The fact that you all performed at Festival International
was amazing yes. this year. It every year it's gotten bigger and bigger. This year we actually ended up dancing with the audience in front of the stage afterwards. Our DJ Rabbit played a special line dance, and we were all there dancing with the audience. It's the power of that word, because the spoken word performance had drawn them there,
mm-hmm.
and afterwards they wanted to take pictures, and they were like, well, wait a minute, you guys come dance with us. So that power of spoken word, it is definitely an experience, and if anyone hasn't had that experience yet, I definitely encourage them to check it out on the 29th mm-hmm. and see that they're going to fall in love with it. Everyone has that has come out to watch the spoken word group.
Absolutely.
All right. Are the two of you performing, or are you going to be reading anything of your own work?
Yes, I will.
You
at some
be.
Point, I will be.
All right. Jonathan, are you?
Well, if there's time.
Whenever you're organizing, it's really mm-hmm. hard. I don't know if you noticed, I kind of flinched a little bit when you said that, because one of my cousin actually asked me if I was going to perform, and I was like, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a lot coming out of you when you're organizing it.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But I will definitely try to perform as well.
All right. Is there a place people can go to find a schedule? Because I know they're trying to write down everything you're saying right now. Is there a list, a place they can go?
We do have a Facebook event mm-hmm. online. They can okay. look up the Lafayette, Louisiana 100,000 Poets for Change, or the website, again, that Jonathan mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. 100tpc.org. You can literally look at every country, every city, and see where your event is.
So if they went to that main website, they could find Lafayette and click on that.
Mm-hmm.
And the information that's here that we
exactly.
have here, will they can see that. So they can plan. Or just plan to go and stay the whole evening and enjoy Cité des Arts and you know, enjoy the performances as well. Now, Jonathan, you're not from Louisiana.
I am not.
You're not. How long have you lived in Louisiana?
2 years now.
Just 2 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. What has been your response to literature in Louisiana? What
you know,
have you discovered?
It is amazing to me especially given the size of Lafayette compared to other cities, just how interested people are in the arts, how much they appreciate the arts. I mean, people talk about, you know, big cities for the arts, which is always a great experience to go see arts in a major metropolis, but at the same time, even though you've got millions of people who could care less passing you. I think it'd be hard-pressed to take a crowd of people anywhere in Lafayette and you know, say, who here is interested in the arts? You know, who here saw some visual arts or some read a book or something like that? I mean, you know, you're going to have hands. It's just an incredible outpouring of interest here. The support network for artists is really fantastic, better than in a lot of bigger places that I've lived. And of course, the, you know, rich musical history. I mean, the world-renowned musical history is the starting point for that fertile interest in the arts.
Right. Do you have many people from Louisiana submitting entries to Unlikely Stories?
A fair number.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And again, I encourage people to go to your website. You have a website for Unlikely Stories.
Unlikelystories.org, yep.
And you're kind of like in your fourth edition now, or it was interesting reading about it, how you sort of changed over the years.
Yeah, fourth edition. The initial edition, you know, as a young man when I was doing the Neopulp was just called Unlikely Stories. Then the second edition, when we added multimedia content and became both more transgressive and more politically inclined, was Unlikely 2.0. Then we did an anthology in 2010 called Unlikely Stories for the Third Kind. And the new one's Unlikely Stories. Unlikely Stories, Episode 4.
Episode 4.
Yeah, Star Trek.
It is fascinating how comfortable we feel looking for literature online and what we encounter now online that we might not have encountered otherwise 15, 20 years ago. That you have to kind of wait for your local bookstore or you have to order something. Right. And now it's so immediate.
And the spread, you know, I mean, there's always great fun in going into a used bookstore and finding something you didn't expect and would never have thought to look for. Mm-hmm. But the amount of work available to you online, the amount of quality work available to you online, I mean, is just so wonderful. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, so many people who don't have all day to spend in used bookstores or don't have a used bookstore near them. You know, it's really become something more inclusive, I think.
Right. I'm sure some people are wondering, Jessica, does Revolution Theory have an online presence? Do you all put YouTube videos of your performances up?
Some of us do have YouTube videos. You can actually find a lot of the videos on Facebook simply by looking for Revolution Theory. And kind of from there, you'll see the artist tagged directly. And you can contact them directly to see what videos they may have available. Mm-hmm. But definitely check us out either on YouTube or on Facebook. You can search. So a good place to start is Facebook. Just type in Revolution Theory.
All right. My guests, Jonathan Pinton and Jessica Bordelon, are talking about 100,000 Poets for Change. It will take place this Saturday at Cité des Arts. Starts at around 6 o'clock. Goes until 10. You're invited to stay the whole time. Come in for a few. Visit the cafe. I'm sure some people are wondering if you're going to be videoing this year's performances and putting those up as well.
Absolutely. The whole event.
All right. Well, we can look forward to that in addition. 100,000 Poets for Change. This is the second year only. We had quite a successful event, thanks to Jonathan and Jessica last year. And we're looking forward to the performance this coming Saturday. So about how many performers are involved?
Is it about 20 now?
I think it's grown a little bit.
Yeah.
20 to 25, you know.
You're getting your money's worth. $5 a person is not bad to consider how much a variety, you know, and knowing that your money's going for a good cause.
Right.
So a good
again,
20 artists at least.
In addition to the poets, you've got musicians as well.
And dancers.
And tell us again what the money is going to help this year.
Coastal Restoration and Cité d'Arts, the arts community itself.
All right. And why did you all choose that? Or do you have a committee who decided on Coastal Restoration? Or?
We kind of threw the ideas back and forth. What would be something that the community here would feel was a need that was pressing? And we kind of threw some ideas around and settled on that was probably the two biggest that Acadiana would have felt most passionate about supporting would be restoring the coastline, which we know has really been through a lot in the last five or 6 years. And, of course, the arts, because Lafayette is huge on supporting the arts.
Right.
So we also needed to find something that, you know, all the artists could agree on.
Exactly.
I mean, we're inviting a lot of artists. We're encouraging them to be outspoken. We're encouraging them to disagree with each other. But when the actual money's collected, we need it to be something that everybody's on the same
page.
That's right. No, I don't want my money to go.
Yeah.
Well, Jonathan, I know some people might be curious. You've been in Louisiana a couple years. Mm-hmm. People always wonder if the place has an effect on your own work.
Sure, I think so. It's on my own writing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to tell when I look at how my work has changed, what's been the cause of that. These days, I am working on a libretto now. So, I mean, I guess you could say, well, you're in a musical area. Of course, you're working on something more musical. And maybe that's true. I don't know. But I never sat down and thought about it that way. I think the Spectre of Katrina and what happened then and there was affecting me in El Paso, where I was when I was living, where I was living when it happened, and probably being closer to that and talking to more people who were there has also had a pretty big effect. I would say that's the most direct effect. Mm-hmm. Katrina was definitely on my mind before I moved here.
Yeah, so Louisiana affecting you even before you moved here.
Mm-hmm.
And, just thinking, as long as we're talking about poets for change, you know, how do environments change poets?
Sure.
And what they work on when they move to a place.
Mm-hmm.
And Jessica, you're from here, right?
Actually, yes. I grew up in Cottonport, Louisiana, mm-hmm. not too far from here, and I've been living here. I moved here to go to UL, and I almost, when I first moved here, I thought, well, I'm going to study at UL, and then I'm going to move on somewhere else. But the way that the arts was embraced here, it was almost, you know, no question I was mm-hmm. going to end up staying.
Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful word to use, embraced, because we do feel that, as Jonathan said, anywhere you go, if you ask people about the arts, they know about it, they care about it, they support it. So definitely embracing it. Hopefully many people will go and embrace 100,000 Poets for Change this coming Saturday. My guests, Jonathan Pinton and Jessica Bordelon, together again this year, putting on this event for Lafayette. Again, Jessica with Revolution Theory and Jonathan of the online magazine Unlikely Stories, putting together this event open to everyone. The proceeds will go to help both Cité and Coastal Restoration. So a great event, definitely helping to change things in our community. And who knows, you might be changed by listening to some of these wonderful performers as well, whether they're poets or dancers or musicians that will be at the 100,000 Poets for Change. So maybe we can again just mention those musicians and performers. So once more, people who
Absolutely.
Will be there.
There's going to be Zigzag Wanderers and Delta Papa, who are both local bands that I'm sure some people have heard of them. Angie Joel is a great singer from the area. She's kind of got a jazzy neo-soul feel to her. We've also got Revolution Theory and Project Sound, which are spoken word groups. We've got poets like Jerry Maguire, Martha Reed, Daryl Bork, who's a former poet laureate. And we've even got a couple of St. Martin High School's poets coming out from their group called Dead Poets Society.
All right.
So we've also got three people coming in from out of town. Kim Vodica is coming in from LSU. And we will have Michael Harold coming down all the way from Shreveport. And Wendy Taylor Carlisle, a wonderful poet who lives all the way up in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, and the north border of Arkansas, is coming all the way down here to read with us that night.
All right. So we'll look forward to them as well.
A wide variety.
Wide variety. All part of the 100,000 Poets for Change, a worldwide event that's taking place. You can stop by that website as well and find out more about the movement. Thank you both. We'll see you Saturday, September 29th. That's this Saturday, 6 to 10 at Cité des Arts.
Thanks, Judith.
Thank you.